Are you ready to generate way more leads with way less struggle? I have great news for you. I'm now accepting new students into High Performance Agent Academy. Inside the academy, you'll get 8 months of customized support from me and get access to my entire playbook, sales, marketing, social media, systems, all of it ready for you to copy and paste right into your business. Check the show notes for the link to learn more. We start on May 1st.
Hey, my name's Tina Bellevaux, and I am obsessed with all things real estate, growth, marketing, social media, technology, and team building. If you're an ambitious agent who's hungry to grow, work on your own terms, and build a thriving life outside of your business, this is the podcast for you. I got into real estate when I was 18 years old and grew my business from nothing through referrals and social media. And since then, I've built a top-performing team, and I've sold over 1,700 homes and $400 million in sales volume. In this podcast, I keep it real, and I tell you exactly what I'm doing to sell tons of houses, lead my team, market my brand, grow my social following and database, and maintain incredible work-life balance. I'll never shy away from sharing my biggest mistakes as well as the juiciest parts of my secret sauce. Pull up a seat and get ready to learn and be inspired. This is the High Performance Agent Podcast with Tina Bellevaux.
Welcome back to the High Performance Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm your host, Tina Bellevaux, and I am here today talking with you about the proposed National Association of Realtors settlement related to buyer agent compensation. So if you're listening to this, I'm sure you are generally up to date with this landmark settlement that came out about a week and a half ago as of this recording, which is in kind of mid-March of 2024. And I have had a lot of people reaching out to me asking, what are my thoughts? What are my reactions? And candidly, I was a little bit hesitant to share my initial reactions because I was processing so much. And it's been about a week now, and I took some time to actually start to real-time record some of my reactions in the Facebook group that I run for real estate agents. So just a plug, if you're not in that group yet, and you kind of want to join this conversation in a place that is an enclosed private group with all relationship-minded real estate agents, check it out. The name of the group is Relationship Driven Real Estate with Tina Bellevaux. It's in Facebook. And what I did was I started to collate my reactions. And I jokingly told someone the other day, I was like, it's like the phases of grief. First, there's denial, then there's anger, then there's all the other phases and gradually like acceptance. So I think like that's part of why I was sort of wanted to just be quiet and be inward for a few days. And then I felt like that maybe I was like holding myself back. So that's kind of a little backstory with this episode. So I just kind of wanted to share my reactions and thoughts. And then I just want to say that like I welcome any follow-up with anyone who wants to chat with me more. So if you're hearing this and you want to find me on Instagram, my handle is at Tina Bellevaux. Feel free to DM me. And then that Facebook group I already referenced is a really great place to come join that. We have some threads going. So I kind of had like 8 or 9 points that came to my head as I was processing this. So the very first one was, oh man, like, I knew this was coming, but the reality of it happening versus the potential of it happening feels brutal and honestly kind of just like unbelievable because I have been a licensed real estate agent since 2005. And a little bit of history for anyone that doesn't know this already, the buyer agent compensation system that we have all been operating under was put into place in 1991. And prior to that, basically, the way agency worked is that seller agents, listing agents, generally collected the whole commission, whatever that percentage was. And then there was no mechanism for buyer agent compensation. So in 1991, this whole new process came out where cooperative compensation was put into place, where buyer agent commission percentages were defined between, supposed to be defined, between the seller and their listing agent, and then they would set aside a portion of that total commission to pay a future buyer's agent. So that has been the mechanism that has been the way almost every real estate agent who's practicing today has been operating. So to think of that changing was just unfathomable, but here we are. So basically, my very first phase was denial and just being like, I can't believe this is actually happening, and just feeling so frustrated that there is no well-thought-out mechanism in place to replace that process. So that was just my emotional reaction. And my second reaction following that was also emotional, which is, oh my gosh, this hurts my soul on a moral level and an equity level, because what I foresee is that if we end up in a climate where buyers really need to pay the compensation themselves directly without necessarily having any sort of tool to finance it, whether that's through a lender or whether that is through any sort of seller help or other kind of mechanism, we're going to be in a situation where buyers are going to need to bring the cash to closing to compensate their agents at times. And who is that going to be the most difficult for? The people with the least financial resources, with the least cash, with the least savings. They're the populations that are already, you know, behind in every way when it comes to like wealth building and home ownership. So first-time buyers, VA buyers, FHA buyers, this is a downside for them. And if we're moving into that climate, it's just going to present a cash issue for those buyers. And it kind of adds insult to injury, because we are already in a situation where those buyers have the biggest struggle to be the winner in a competitive bidding war. So therefore, my third reaction is immediately, what can be done about that? What can I do to be the driving force in any way to counteract the kind of the tidal wave that I see coming in that nature? So the first thing that I did was I reached out to all of the key lenders in my network to say, is your bank working yet on a way for buyers to finance commissions separate from the house purchase? Because I mean, a couple thoughts. If you're still, and I know that the real estate market is performing very differently in different cities across the United States. Where I am in the Baltimore metro, it is still hyper competitive, especially in first-time homebuyer price points. I know that other market sectors are starting to cool. So those areas, they may not have the same struggle, but my immediate reaction is negotiating seller help is often a non-starter. So what other mechanisms are going to be put into place to finance commissions? And there's a particular issue with VA loans where buyers can't pay for commission no matter what. So if the buyer can't pay it and the seller won't pay it or doesn't have to pay it because they have other buyers to choose from that have a different way to, you know, organize the commission payment, then what? And one of the things that I learned is that there's already lobbying happening at the federal level to look at these guidelines immediately for VA buyers. So all of these changes, theoretically, because this is still a proposed settlement, won't be going into place until mid to late July.
In case you missed it, High Performance Agent Academy is officially open for new students, and we start on May 1st. Do you feel frustrated by making slow progress, sick of your systems and CRM being a mess, lonely and tired of figuring out how to grow your business on your own? And are you ready for a breakthrough in your sales, marketing, and lead generation? First of all, you're not alone. I have been there, and I've blazed the trail to solve all of those problems. I've assembled every single system, template, and marketing strategy I use so you can copy and paste them right into your business. If you're ready to transform everything about your real estate business, this is your golden opportunity. I will walk alongside you for the rest of 2024 and help you plug these systems directly into your business. And we will customize every element to your market, your brand, your voice, and your goals. High Performance Agent Academy starts on May 1st, and I don't want you to miss the boat. Head to the show notes to get the link or DM me on Instagram at Tina Bellevo, and I'll send you everything you need. See you in the academy.
Therefore, it's not a lot of time, but I think that the VA issue is going to be the most urgent and pressing thing that might start to really drive forward with other solutions. So depending on how you feel and what kind of trust you have in the government, I'm totally not going there. But I was relieved to hear that conversation has already immediately begun, to find a way to kind of maybe finance the commission the way it happens in a VA loan, where they add kind of that funding fee into the loan, but the house doesn't necessarily need to appraise for that additional difference. I would really love to see a way where commissions can go that way too. So what I found in talking with lenders, and I reached out to some in my network and then also some that I don't necessarily personally use, is one of two reactions. One of them was one that disappointed me, which was lenders basically saying, oh, just get seller help, or, oh, we had a big adjustment with this too, with Dodd-Frank. You guys will figure it out. And I was like, you are not my people. Like, do you not see and hear what I'm saying? Like, we have kind of like a train coming at us for basically low income, low resource, low wealth buyers. Do you not care? Do you not want to preserve that part of your business? Do you not work at an organization that wants to do something about that? Maybe you should start that conversation. So I'm definitely taking notes as far as who I partner with and who I work with and what their attitude is, because I think that's really going to dictate how solution oriented and creative and aggressive they're going to be working in partnership with me and my team to serve our buyers the way that they need to be served in this new normal. So on one hand, some reactions were disappointing. On another, some of the lenders, especially the ones that I partner with and I feel like in general are of a similar mindset of, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to take care of people no matter what it takes. And if I need to change companies or change strategies or change my habits or my comfort zone in order to do that, I'm going to do that. So one of my, one of the takeaways I want to impart today is this is a time that we all need to surround ourselves with people who have a, I will do whatever it takes mentality. And if they don't, it's time to find a new circle and start upgrading and leveling up who is around you. And I really don't want to sound any like fear-mongery with that, because I can't stand when people in the real estate industry take changes and then use them to manipulate people into buying things and doing things and all of that. But I think for me, it's just sort of like a self-esteem thing of, I deserve to have people around me who have the same standards and the same ambitions and the same commitment and willingness to do what it takes to do the right thing and to do right by people. So it was interesting to survey the people around me and kind of gauge who was already thinking of some really creative solutions. One of the lenders that I work with reminded me that maybe there's an opportunity to have sellers pay transfer taxes. In the state of Maryland, we often split the transfer taxes 50-50 unless negotiated differently. So he was just kind of pointing out there are some, they're not necessarily loopholes, but there are some mechanisms within our current structure that could maybe be little deal points that we're going to be able to kind of massage and negotiate up front. If sellers aren't willing to do it one way, maybe they'll do it another way, or at least a portion of it or a small amount, especially if you're working around having a 3% cap on the sale price as far as how much seller help you can even get. Maybe your buyer needs seller help for other expenses, and then you can work with a transfer tax subsidy to cover additional expenses, perhaps like the buyer agent compensation at closing. So that's kind of my third thought of just like, how can I think it's all in our minds, right? I'm like, I can't influence government policy, but I think I can start conversations with people who are top producers in their banks and in the lending industry and be part of that sea change of, okay, if this is how it has to be, like, what are other solutions? And one of the things I was kind of stuck on was like, there's got to be a way to issue a buyer a loan that is kind of separate from their mortgage for them to finance commission. So like, maybe some really enterprising lender who's listening to this, or a realtor who passes it to an enterprising lender, says, hey, like, come out with a specialty product, come out with a portfolio product to create another way to finance a commission for those buyers who want to pay for representation. And that's kind of one of my like side notes to all of this, is there are some buyers who are not going to want to pay for representation. That's okay. That's their prerogative. That's their opportunity to experience buying that way and decide if it's for them. I am not cavalier enough to believe that there are some people out there who absolutely need representation. There are people who are former real estate agents. Maybe they've worked in the industry. Maybe they have already sold 8 to 10 homes and they really believe they don't need representation. They're comfortable negotiating themselves. They're comfortable hiring a lawyer to review the contract that the listing agent furnished and paying for those fees. They're comfortable walking through the home inspection. Fine. I am not, my ego isn't big enough to think that everyone in the world needs my help. What matters to me and what I know is that there are countless people like me in my market and all over America and all over the world who do value service and hiring experts to help them. And they're busy, they're working professionals, maybe they have small children, maybe they have a lot of other business ventures. I'm kind of basically describing myself. I am willing to pay experts to save me time and save me from making mistakes if I DIY. So I think it's just important to remember that when you are really great at your craft, there are always going to be people who want to leverage experts. And I am not going to honestly waste any of my emotional energy convincing someone that they need representation if that's just not their sensibility, if that's not their value system, if that just doesn't make sense to them, or they've had a prior experience that led them to feel that way, that's really, really, really okay with me. And I would encourage you to let that be okay with you too, and just focus on finding your people. So maybe if I were to like give this episode a theme in a way, it would be find your people, find the, you know, the vendors who are going to support you in this new normal, find the clients who value what you offer intrinsically without needing to be like talked into it. Find, you know, the team or mentorship group or network or group of realtors or brokerage where you have your people and you're not kind of like fighting an uphill battle when we already have some battles to fight. So that was my third reaction. And the fourth one is just sort of like amusing, which is, I wonder how many listing agents are going to go back to the old system pre-1991 of just keeping the full commission percentage that they negotiate with their seller and just not offering any cooperating compensation to the buyer agent at all. And kind of as a related thought is maybe that's an opportunity that I should be exploring for me and my team, especially because we could be heading into a situation where the job description of a listing agent is drastically changing. Today, in most markets, and certainly in mine, when we list a home, 95% of the time, well, 100% of the time we offer buyer agent compensation. That's always been my, you know, my team's business model. But generally we install a lockbox and then 95% of the showings are scheduled by buyer agents who are representing those buyers. And then that 5% of the time we might show it to an unrepresented buyer who contacts us or someone in our own network. But generally as the listing agent, we haven't needed to show the house. We haven't needed to spend all of that time being at the house, showing the listing. And then when we do procure that buyer in that scenario, whether you're, you can't, in Maryland, you can't represent both sides. So you just represent the seller. The buyer proceeds unrepresented with you assisting them with disclosures and understanding of whose interests you are representing and whose interests you are not. But either way, if we are interfacing directly with all of those buyers, and then when one of them is the winning buyer or the buyer who wants to make an offer as the listing agent, what if we're preparing the offer? What if we are explaining the contents of the contract to them? We're sending them the DocuSign. We're doing all of the revisions. We get it under contract. We're the ones scheduling the home inspection. We are now present at the inspection because we are handling not both sides representationally, but we are doing all of the work. So there's just a lot to think about there where if we are in the listing seat, how that's going to look different and understanding how the job description changes and then how we can articulate that to the client to help them understand what we are doing and not doing, who is or isn't involved, and therefore what the compensation structure is going to be. So for me, it's a little bit mind-blowing because it creates so many variables of, well, if this happens, then that, but if that doesn't happen, then this. So I think ultimately, there's just a lot to kind of think through and kind of take each listing as it comes in this new normal and kind of have a mindset. One thing I've really learned with marketing and my business overall is to just have a mindset of experimentation and to be constantly learning and then reflecting on what has happened and then implementing changes, new systems, new options, new ways to do it the next time, and then continue to iterate off of that until I create a system that works for me and works really well for my clients, because those two things generally always go hand in hand. So ultimately, that was kind of one of my main reactions of, I'm not sure exactly what this could look like. If I'm in the buyer agent seat, there are some serious downsides to a system where the listing agent is retaining perhaps a quote, full commission, if you will, and therefore the seller isn't willing to also compensate the buyer agent. And then we're going to be in more and more situations where having the buyer pay their commission themselves is going to be a conversation, or finding those tools and options to finance it. So on the buyer side, it's a challenge. On the listing side, it's both a challenge and an opportunity. If you don't enjoy the idea of showing your own listing constantly, that's interesting. And that is perhaps a conversation to have with your client of what that looks like as far as the 7-day a week availability to show the listing at the drop of a hat versus cooperating with buyer agents and basically increasing the number of people who can physically show the home and then kind of increasing the size of the market. And I think, again, a lot of this is complex enough that I think one thing we're all going to really need to work on is finding language where we can explain things to people in a very clear way. And I've had a lot of conversations in the last week with consumers, my family, close friends, advocates in my, you know, sphere that are very confused by the headlines. So I think that is something that is just going to be a really important skill to just sharpen and practice and talk with people around you and see if they are hearing what you're trying to say, or if they're hearing something different in their own mind than the words that are coming out of your mouth. So especially when it comes to the nuances of what I've described here. So yeah, my fourth and fifth reaction were kind of coupled together. So on the buyer side, you know, what does that look like when the listing agent and the seller are not offering any cooperation? And in fact, there's no, as I like to say, meat on the bone to negotiate that because of how the listing agent has kind of set up the process. And then the reaction coupled with that is, does this present an opportunity for my team to kind of handle the whole process from beginning to end and not necessarily deal with buyer agents? I'm not advocating for that. I'm not saying I prefer that, but that is a reality we all need to think about of what that could look like and what the pros and cons are for both ourselves and our schedules and the results we can generate for our clients. And also, what do our clients think? And I think being really candid with people about how it's really going to work and how things impact them is going to be extremely, extremely important. So that is my thought on how essentially the commission pie could be split and the kind of the pros and the cons of what that could look like. My sixth reaction was very much what I call a duh moment, which is that listings are queen more than ever. So they are now, even more than ever, the clearest path to knowing that exactly how you are going to be compensated, to know that you will be fully compensated to the level that you expect, and that it ultimately isn't going to necessarily be renegotiated in the middle of the transaction. Because on the buyer agency side of this, if you're looking at a variable of every house is different, every listing has a potentially different compensation structure, there's a lot of variation there. On the listing side, obviously, if we're having that conversation with our seller at the listing appointment, we're, you know, signing a listing contract with them where the commission and the timelines and the termination clauses are all spelled out, there's a lot less variability. So the question that I then ask myself is, what can I refine here to give my clients more options and more understanding upfront to help them be as competitive and empowered as possible? And how can I look at this as an opportunity for my team? How can I make this an ethical and win-win process for all if our team does end up working with unrepresented buyers more frequently than we customarily have in the past? Might we see a lot more buyers coming directly to us and wanting to forego representation? And again, how can we handle that in an ethical and professional way? And again, how can we put our sellers in the driver's seat of that decision-making? Because of one of the things underpinning these lawsuits is that the sellers, I think, very much perceived that they never had a choice, that they had conversations with agents that sounded like, this is how it is. And if you don't do it this way, things won't work out for you. You won't get the best price. You won't get as many showings. You won't get as much exposure as you're hoping for. And I think there's such a tricky thing about all of that, because some of those things were probably true, but they weren't necessarily legal or ethical, but that was kind of the way that things were done. So that's been sort of one of the most interesting things for me about this process is I did take the time to read a lot of the consumer-facing articles in all of the major, you know, national publications. And it was a wake-up call for me on the way consumers perceive real estate agents and the way they perceive compensation. And anyone that's experienced real estate in the COVID or post-COVID era have really gotten a taste of a market where you may perceive a lot more value in what a real estate agent does or a lot less because of the like insane, you know, competition of the climate. So things that came out as I also read in a lot of really great Facebook groups that are national. Some have to do with real estate and some have nothing to do with it, but people ask a lot of questions about real estate in them. And I like to read the comments because it's such a good way to get the temperature of what people are really thinking. And to, for me, I try to really just listen and not immediately take it personally. I rarely respond to anything that's like negative about the industry. Cause again, I'm not in the business personally of changing what people perceive. I would much rather be in the business of finding and attracting my people, as I mentioned previously. But there's obviously a perception that real estate agents are overpaid. And one thing I've seen people do on social media is say things like, we're not overpaid. We share with our team. We share with our broker. We share with the government. We pay taxes. We have this. We have that. It may look like a big commission, but what if we go 3 months between pay? Like this compensates for that. All of that is true, but that's not the consumer's problem. It's something that certain people may want to understand. It's advocates that they want to understand, but I don't necessarily see that as a battle that I'm going to fight. I am instead going to focus on people who value hiring an expert and leveraging someone else's time, expertise, wisdom, and connections. I mean, think about when you're a successful, well-connected realtor and you have connections to inventory and strategies and people that other people do not, like, how do you put a price on that? And then, of course, there's the actual hours, minutes, psychological and mental and emotional energy that we put into our clients. There's also the fact that real estate is generally a 7-day-a-week business, and it is possible to have boundaries and strategies around that. But at the end of the day, there is a lot of availability that is required. And would you call that overtime pay? So there's a lot that goes into that. But at the end of the day, a lot of consumers don't understand, they don't care, and that's okay because it's all about the customer at the end of the day. And some of them are going to have a perception that we are overpaid. And I think when I got into the business a long time ago, I grappled with that a lot more of feeling like people look at real estate agents as like used car salespeople or lawyers. Like I've had the experience of hiring lawyers and being like, I'm paying $400 an hour for this level of service, for this response. So I've kind of been on both ends of it to really understand why consumers can feel that way. And I think ultimately it always comes down to the specific real estate agent that they end up hiring and having experiences with. And then that forever colors the perceptions that they might have for the rest of their life. But at the end of the day, we need to understand the perceptions that the consumers have and either work against that or at least account for that in the way we behave, in our marketing messaging, in our branding, in the conversations we have, and the way we explain things. The second perception is that a lot of consumers felt that real estate agents were not explaining how the commission is distributed on the listing side. And I think one of the unfortunate things about the era of DocuSign and digital signatures is that a lot of people don't read anything before they sign it, or they skim for the couple, you know, standout items and terms. And if they don't want to review it, or if the agent doesn't insist on saying, let me explain these key things to you so that you can understand what you're signing, how you get out of it. That's one of my big things. Like, I have put a 1-day termination in all of my contracts for as long as I started working at a brokerage where they didn't mandate a certain period of time for termination. I have always said to my clients, if you don't want to work with me anymore, I am not going to handcuff you. If you work with me to look for homes for 2 days, 2 months, or 2 years, and then you want to move on and we haven't secured you a house yet, that's your right. And I've just always kind of had that. I don't know if it's confidence, but it's just how I want to be treated as a consumer. I don't want to be forced to work with someone if I've identified that it's not a good fit or if they're not performing their job at a level and at the standard that I expect. But ultimately, the takeaway that I want to give here is one thing that I think all real estate agents need to work on is explaining to their clients how the total commission is, might be, or could be distributed to any other participating parties, and help our clients understand the pros and the cons of all of those different strategies, and then guiding them towards a decision where they feel like they are fully informed and comfortable and see, you know, that the costs don't outweigh the benefits or whatever the case may be for the way that they're going to proceed with compensation. And I think it's very, very important to not say things like, no one's going to show your house if you don't do XYZ, because A, that's illegal from an antitrust standpoint, and it always has been. And B, it's no longer relevant in this new normal necessarily. So I think it's a time to just be thoughtful about what you're saying and why you're saying it, and really be thinking about what is best for your client and guiding them in that direction. There was also clearly a perception amongst consumers that commissions weren't negotiable and that there was, quote, a standard commission. And I think if I think about all the things that I've seen in all of my forums with real estate agents, people are absolutely irate about national headlines that the standard X percent commission has finally been demolished, when we all know that there is no standard commission, that commissions are all over the map. And I'm actually being really careful here to not use a percentage. This is something that I'm absolutely cringing about. I think a lot of real estate agents, unfortunately, don't know or have forgotten that you are never to talk about specific commission percentages on any sort of social media or public forum or in any circle that is outside the brokerage of which you are affiliated. So if you're out there posting about X.5% or Y percent, please, please stop. The only appropriate place to discuss specific commission rates is within your brokerage. And of course, there's microcosms inside of that, like within your team, if you have one, and with your specific clients. I think there are going to be a lot more lawsuits coming. And I think ultimately we're also going to have buyer lawsuits of like, how are we supposed to function in this new normal without any, you know, equality or guaranteed, you know, strategy. And by the way, I think there's also a scenario where there are going to be buyers who feel like they or their agent was not compensated because of their race or their familial status or a lot of other things that fall in the bucket of fair housing. So there's just, I would say, you know, one of my cautions to agents as well is if you are representing a seller and there is any plan to vary what the buyer agent compensation is for some reason, you better think twice. Because if anyone feels like they have been discriminated against, where their offer would have, you know, been, no compensation, but someone else ultimately got the house and their agent was compensated, there's huge exposure here. And I hope that more guidance comes out around that eventually, and I assume it will, but I think we're going to have sort of a messy middle where things are the Wild West. So keeping your mind on how important it is to have equity in mind and fairness, consistency, and again, please stop talking about specific percentages of commission anywhere. It's just one of my little PSAs. So those are some of the thoughts that I've had about this is what consumers are perceiving. They think realtors are overpaid. They didn't understand how the commissions were distributed. They didn't think they were negotiable. So it is our job to rise to the occasion and step up to the plate. So some recommendations aside from the ones I've already given. Number one, don't perpetuate the we are overpaid story with your social media presence. And you know exactly what I mean. We've all seen posts that perpetuate that story. I would caution you to just be thoughtful about how you share and any sort of lifestyle content. And that's very much like a personal choice. The second thing is, I wouldn't necessarily recommend you draw attention to that perception and then argue against it. I think the more noise you make about a story that you don't want perpetuated, the more counterproductive that is. So I would just encourage you to show up the way you want to be known and perceived, with value, with integrity, with knowledge, with expertise, and the rest is going to take care of itself. And then my last tip is really to strengthen your skills in articulating how commissions are distributed and what the pros and the cons are of different payment structures, and then allow your client to make the decision. There's kind of a parallel that I've become very used to in my market, which is Maryland specific, which is clients have the opportunity to fill out what's either called a property disclosure or a property disclaimer. And in the disclosure, it's where they fill out like a 3-page form giving a lot of detail about the systems of the house and what may or may not be wrong. And the disclaimer is a much shorter form where they only have to disclose what Maryland terms a latent defect. What's important about this is I was trained very early on by a great manager that it was not my job to tell the client which one to fill out. It was my job to explain what both forms were, the pros and the cons of filling out each one, the fact that they need to choose one and not do both, and then let them choose. So I think we really need to approach commissions the same way. And I would encourage perhaps creating some very concise collateral explaining if you cooperate with a buyer agent and offer a percentage commission or a flat fee or whatever you decide to do, here are the ways it's going to look. Here are some upsides. Here are some downsides, and vice versa. And this is how any good agent explains anything in a contract, the types of home inspections to do, whether to waive the appraisal or not. These are all skills that we all have and have honed, especially in the COVID era, of what terms to kind of include or exclude from the contract. It's the same thing. It's just translating into a little bit more of a more difficult conversation because it pertains to our own compensation versus things that don't kind of bring up those feelings and perceptions necessarily. So overall, I think takeaways that I have had that I haven't already mentioned is I jokingly did wonder to myself, should I become a lawyer instead? No, I'm not leaving the industry, but I do think having other streams and sources of income makes more sense than ever. I'm not suggesting you go become a brokerage recruiter, but I do think that we all have the opportunity to invest in real estate at our fingertips. We do it every day. So just like a quick self-assessment question, ask yourself, am I taking advantage of the deals and the opportunities coming across my plate at the level that I would look back in retrospect and say, I really took advantage of the opportunities that I had while I was active in the industry? I got to a point in my career where the answer to that was no. And I realized I had been letting opportunities pass me by out of fear and out of not wanting to kind of get out of my niche and learn something new and build a skill set of learning how to manage a rental or how to flip a house or how to do a short-term rental. So just like a little bit of an awareness moment, am I pursuing the opportunities coming across my plate to build my wealth in another way besides being paid transactional commissions? And you may not want to do that, but I think it's something for you to think about. So I'm going to end with some takeaways and next steps. And really, the summary of it is that mindset is everything. And I've been seeing traffic from a lot of agents who feel angry and frustrated. They're upset with NAR. They're upset with the news media. They're upset with the government. They're upset with the sellers who filed the lawsuit. It's all valid. I'm not invalidating the feeling at all. But my encouragement is to channel your anger and frustration into action. And that has been one of my secrets to success. I get frustrated. And when I get mad enough, it means I need to do something about it, or I just end up in a very negative headspace. So for me, choosing action looks like a couple things. Number one, actively seeking out solutions to problems that I foresee. That was why one of the first things I started doing was reaching out to lenders and saying, what's your bank doing? What's your leadership conversation around this? What little known tools and, you know, opportunities do you have in your company to find other ways to basically find cash for buyers to potentially finance their commissions? My second tip, pretty obvious, but create well-written collateral and material to share with clients who will inevitably have questions. I think we need to practice having the conversation. And then we also need to give them something in writing to absorb and read, especially if they are active clients or under, you know, listing and buyer agency agreements with us. And they want to understand, has anything changed yet? And if not, when will it change? And how could that impact me down the line? We need to be answering those questions. So I think being able to verbalize it and also give people something to read or a video to watch would be a great idea. The third thing is I recommend you update your buyer presentation and your consultation process to proactively educate your current and future, soon future buyers on how things are shifting at this time, what they need to know right now, and what they need to do right now, if anything, and maybe even a timeline by which things could shift. Perhaps if we're not under contract by June 1st, please know that I'm going to reach out to you and we're going to schedule a follow-up conversation to talk about if anything has changed and how. Just a tip there. The fourth thing for me is to be bold and unafraid to share my thoughts. So this podcast episode comes from that place. I had sort of an urge to be quiet at first and even had the thought of like, who am I to pontificate on this? And that kind of flows into my next thought is like, well, I am the right person to pontificate on this. I do trust in myself. I trust in my mind, in my intellect, in my analytical skills, in my ability to grasp something that's complicated, confusing, and scary, and boil it down into something that I can understand and then help and empower the people around me. And I encourage you to take on the same. I've built my business on that foundation. I've built my team on that foundation. And I've built my coaching and course company off of that. I can take complex topics and help people understand them and take action. This is just another opportunity for me to do that and for you to do that. I'm also, as I already mentioned, tapping into all of my key vendors, especially my lenders, to start conversations around solutions and products for buyer agent compensation, as well as any industry thought leaders and connections that I have to further those conversations. And I would definitely encourage you to do the same, because the more lenders and banks hear this from us, the more seriously they're going to take quicker action to solve the problem that they're inevitably going to need to solve. And last but not least, I am tightening my inner circle of who advises me and who is in my ear. In times of uncertainty, especially financial uncertainty or potential financial uncertainty, I can either listen to the voices that empower me or disempower me. So it's a time to be thoughtful about who we're hanging out with, who we're talking with, who we're following on social media, what we're scrolling, what we're reading, and just focusing on the solution and use anger and frustration as fuel. And the last thing that I feel like is worth mentioning is I've been in a very slow rolling process of working through a lot of things to relaunch my course for agents, High Performance Agent Academy. I am opening the doors for the course again in April, and the course starts on May 1st. So I will absolutely be adding a module to the Academy on all things related to the NAR settlement, and I'll be updating it real time. The new Academy is going to run from May 1st through December 31st. It's an 8-month period where I will be actively mentoring, training, supporting, coaching, and giving feedback to agents. So through that entire 8-month period of this initial change, I will be creating scripts, dialogues, templates, sales training, and providing live coaching to help agents, along with all the things that have always been a part of my academy. So I will say I'm doing a secret sale for anyone on the wait list between April 1st and 7th. Basically, there will be a special discount for anyone who, I have almost 100 people on the wait list, which is so exciting. And a lot of you have joined it through listening to this podcast. Please know how grateful I am for that. So I'm going to reward all my waitlisters with a really juicy discount. And then for the balance of April, it will be the regular price. So if you want to know more about the Academy, you can just go ahead and join the waitlist now. The web address is tinabellevaux.com/academy. That's tinabellevaux.com/academy. And if you can't figure that out, just find me on Instagram, DM me, and I'll get you the link. Most importantly, thank you for investing the time and listening to this. Please come join me in my Facebook group if you want to continue the conversation. I'd love to hear your thoughts, reaction, feedback, creative ideas, connections in the industry, anything you can kind of add to this conversation. And I look forward to talking again with you soon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the High Performance Agent Podcast. Make sure to subscribe by hitting the follow button so you don't miss the next episode. And check the show notes for links to all of my goodies, including my newsletter filled with tips for ambitious agents. You can also find me on Instagram at Tina Bellevaux. Talk to you soon.